So about a year after I graduated from college, I was working in an insurance company call center. I did not know what I wanted to do with my life, but I knew it was absolutely not that. So I asked my boss for a week off around the 4th of July to go on a road trip with my friend Lindsay. And my boss said no. And I feel like I should ask for consent from the microphone. My boss said no, so I said I quit. My friend Felicia, who's here tonight, was about to move to Spain to study flamenco and said, you can have my job. And she did, in fact, give me her job, so I was good. I actually put posters around Charles Village with a picture of Nancy Drew and my phone number and said sleuth for hire. It was very entertaining because Lindsay and I got a few phone calls on the road down there. So we hung out in Charleston and we had a really good time. And then we were heading to another town called Beaufort to meet up with Lindsay's friend, Hedda, who was my ex-girlfriend's ex-girlfriend, as these things sometimes happen. And I was super hungover. We were meeting her in a Burger King parking lot. Really gross. That dumpster smell. And there's this white pickup truck with a bumper sticker that says, "You can't beat Wagner's meat." And the door opens, and Hedda gets out, and the angels started singing over Burger King. She looked like Botticelli's Venus, but like the butch version, like a tank top and jeans, and I was smitten. And she felt the same way about me. That night, we all drove to Savannah, and she drove my car back, and I fell asleep in the passenger's seat, and she reached over and held my hand, and I woke up and she was holding my hand. The next day was the 4th of July, and we had our first kiss in the ocean as the sun set. Fireworks went off. Like, actual fireworks, because it was the 4th of July, but it took me a second to realize it worked. And it just felt like my whole life, which didn't really seem to have any, like, organizing, cohesive theme before this moment, like, I had found my entire purpose, which was to, like, love her forever. But we had to go back up to Baltimore. Hedda and I talked constantly. And she came up to see me the following weekend. And then I went to see her again the weekend after that, but it was the last time that I would see her for a while because she was about to leave for Peace Corps. We actually were going down to see her for her going away party. So she leaves, and I had four jobs. I worked at a hair salon and a coffee shop in the same building, which really confused my customers. And I was a pool girl, and then I had Felicia's old job at School for the Arts. So I was really busy, but I wrote her these really long letters just about, like, my life in Charles Village, and I wrote her on origami paper and, like, old children's books. I found this old oven manual at an antique store, and I wrote her, like, a hot letter. And she wrote me really long letters, too, about Honduras and her host family. I went to visit her, and it was great. So then we started talking about me moving down there, which is not actually something Peace Corps lets you do. But we decided that was a really good idea. I also didn't really speak Spanish, and I'd never lived anywhere outside of Baltimore to the extent that people would sometimes turn to Hedda and be like, can you tell me what she just said? Because the depth of my Baltimore accent. But I moved down there, and I had stuck all my stuff in two bags. She met me at the airport in Tegucigalpa, and we took a bus to her little town, San Marcos de Colón. It looked like a Garcia Marquez novel with these green mountains in the distance and whitewashed walls and horses clip-clopping on the cobblestone. We had this apartment that was carved out of a bigger house. It was two rooms. So we walk in, and I'm so excited. I've, like, never lived with a partner before. And I'm with Hedda after this whole year of, like, dreaming about her. And I put my bags down on the bed, and the curtains part in the bedroom, and this head appeared. And it was the really nice housekeeper from next door with a plate of homemade tortillas and cheese. But I realized there was no privacy. And that window was also where our landlord liked to park his truck while it was still running when he got drunk at night and listened to this really loud ranchera music. And for like 2 hours, we would just lay there with the bedroom filling with exhaust and covering our ears. I started to see this like black shape flitting around, and I thought I was hallucinating from like the exhaust. But it was actually worse. It was a rat that lived in our shower drain and came out at night. But San Marcos was wonderful, and the people were really... No, like, for real. Apartment was really whack. The people were really warm and gracious and really patient with my shitty Spanish, and it was such a close-knit town that when I got off the bus, the lady selling tamales would tell me if there is a package for me at the post office. I got a job teaching at a bilingual school about an hour down the road. So I had to get up at 4:45 to catch this bus. It was like a retired U.S. school bus, like 60 years old. And I almost never got a seat, so I'd stand in the aisle, and we would just, like, sway down the mountain. I always had coffee and a water bottle and a backpack, and, like, it was too much. And people would be bringing, like, baskets of fruit to sell or chickens. Like, there were lots of chickens. Chickens got loose. And one time we actually stopped, and the back door opened, and a man got on with a donkey. And the donkey just stood in the aisle and, like, swayed back and forth with all of us. I think I spilled coffee on it. If I was, when I missed the bus, which is, like, a lot, because if you know me well, you know I have a little time problem. So I'd walk over to the Pan American Highway and hitchhike, which was the signal. And if I was lucky, I would get in a car with somebody I knew from town. And if I wasn't lucky, I would jump in the back of a pickup truck, which is like, that isn't like the leap of faith, obviously, but that's a freaking leap of faith right there. And I'd get to school an hour later, all like bruised and dusty, and my hair would be like teased, like hugely teased from the wind. But my students were amazing, and that made it all worth it. They were so smart and inquisitive. I loved reading their journal entries about their dreams for the future. I taught writing, English, psychology, and biology, which are my favorite topics. But biology was very immediate for us because we had so much wildlife that would just appear in the classroom, like gorgeous, like, blue morpho butterflies fluttering past, little cute lizards scurrying around, but also tarantulas, like, on a semi-regular basis would just be creeping around. And one time there is a rustling in the ceiling tiles, and an iguana landed in the classroom and was, like, equally confused as to how the heck it got there. So after a year there, Hedda decided to do an extra year of Peace Corps and moved up to the Caribbean coast. We lived in a town called Tela, which used to be the head of the Chiquita Banana Company. Our house was an old wooden banana worker's house with sugarcane and ginger growing in the backyard, a mango tree in the front yard, and this like little ghost crab that would scuttle out from the roots, which like that, like the rat in the other place. I would like notice it at night when I've been drinking, and it was alarming. But I taught at a wonderful school there, two blocks away, which was really nice. No buses, no hitchhiking. And I got to take the kids on field trips to see Mayan ruins. We took a boat to an island to look at monkeys. My sister Mia, who's here, came to visit. We had lots of visitors. Everybody from Peace Corps would come stay with us because we lived two blocks from the ocean, which was like a blessing and a curse. One girl gave us scabies, which was nasty, especially because we didn't have hot water. Shoot, I can't share this with her. but it was a really fun adventure. And but I felt like I needed to, like, I was 26. I was, like, a grown-up. I needed to do something with my life. The only thing that I was, like, consistently good at was writing. So kind of on a whim, I applied for a journalism program for a master's, and I got in. We moved back. And it was a really hard year. I worked my way up to an internship at The Sun. We rented a house in Tacoma Park with freaking bed bugs, like the one vermin we escaped, like we found when we came back here. And we just fought all the time. Like, the relationship was like kind of a mess from the beginning, and like, you shouldn't probably start a relationship being like, I'm gonna be the blood that flows in your veins. That's sort of unhealthy. So we broke up, and we broke up actually almost exactly 4 years after we met. And that night, I came home for my evening crying session in my like un-air-conditioned apartment. So I was just in my underwear crying on my cat. And my editor called and offered me a full-time job at The Sun. And I was a journalist. And it took a long time, like, because for a long time I was really sad, and I felt like this relationship was a failure. And I felt like this time in Honduras was just this like really weird detour in my life, which is always full of weird detours. But as time went on, well, first of all, I have a really great relationship with my students that's persisted. I helped them with their college admissions essays. I wrote them letters of recommendation, and now it's almost 20 years ago, and we're still in touch, which is really neat. But also, I realized that, like, all that stuff that I learned about myself there, like how brave I could be, and like flexible and adjustable, and I could like quickly make connections with people when I was hitchhiking with them, or communicate people even when with people that I didn't necessarily have a lot in common with, and learn stuff fast. I also had like scary adventures too, which you can ask me about later. But I was okay, and I realized I could be really brave, and I realized that that was what I needed to become a journalist, to learn that about myself. So even though I moved to Honduras looking for love, I found myself, and I learned how to love her.